Going to be reading Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Amen, Pastor.
Faith is one of those things that I guess down through the past several years, dozen years or so, has kind of gotten a bad rap. These so-called faith healers that we kind of wonder about. There is a particular story about a traveling evangelist who also fancied himself as a faith healer. In one of his crusade services, he jumped up on the platform and says, "I have faith that 2 people will be healed tonight. Where are you? Who would like to be healed?" A man ran down the aisle named Harry and added that he had a speech impediment, that "I can't talk white." So the evangelist told him to go behind the curtain and he would be healed. Then there was a man who hobbled down the aisle with his crutches. His name was Frank. He says, "I haven't walked in 20 years without these crutches." He was told to go behind the curtain with Harry. Then the healer said, "Frank, you've been healed. Slide your crutches underneath the curtain." One at a time, the crutches slowly came out from under the curtain and the crowd went crazy. Then the evangelist held up the crutches and broke them both on his knee and declared that he'd been healed. Then the evangelist said, "Harry, the next sentence you speak will be the first you've ever said normally." Then he told the usher to take a microphone to Harry. Once he was sure that Harry had the microphone, he said, "What would you like to say, Harry?" There was a slight moment of silence, and then from behind the curtain came the words, "Frank just fell." Faith healers have kind of gotten a bad rap. I am a firm believer in faith, and I'm sure most, if not all of you, are firm believers in faith. I'm sure you can all tell stories of things that you have seen happen, people you've prayed for that have miraculously recovered, people in hospitals that doctors have given up on that get up and walk out of the hospital. Faith is a real thing, despite the bad rap that it's gotten over the faith healer evangelists. Our story this morning is about Jesus walking from Jerusalem, or going to Jerusalem rather, traveling down the road between Samaria and Galilee. And as he gets close to this village, these 10 lepers holler out to him, asking him for healing. And you have to understand, leprosy in those days, I guess you could kind of equate to AIDS today. It was a debilitating disease. It was a terrible thing to see. It was sometimes fatal, just like AIDS is. In Bible times, that was probably the worst thing that could happen to you, is to get leprosy. Lepers were considered unclean, not just physically, but spiritually. They were not allowed to approach anyone within 6 feet, including their own family. From Leviticus 13:45, it says, "His clothes shall be rent and his head be bare, and he shall be put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" They actually had to, as they were walking, holler out, "Unclean, unclean," so people would know they had leprosy and would stay away from them. It was terribly emotionally, mentally debilitating disease, something that you would not want to have. They had to shave their heads. They covered themselves with certain black garments so they'd stand out amongst the others. They'd had to wear masks. When it talks about the covering over their upper lip. They were talking about a mask. It was terrible. But yet, they hollered out to Jesus for healing. They must have had some idea from Jesus going around and healing and causing miracles and stuff that he had the power to do this. So they cried out to him. Jesus might have been tired from his trip. He was getting ready to enter this village, probably going to rest for the night. But he didn't hesitate. He turned around and told them, go show yourself to the priests. He didn't say, I heal you, or, you know, any of those kinds of things. He just told them, go show yourself to the priests. And as they were going towards the temple, they were healed. The sad thing is, and we see this in society today, is people aren't as thankful as they should be. One out of those 10 people, a Samaritan, came back and threw themselves down at Jesus' feet and thanked him for what he had done. And Jesus told him, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. You ever noticed how many times when Jesus healed people, he didn't stand there and say, okay, I've healed you, or God has healed you. He would look at those people and say, your faith has made you well. The woman that had the blood problem that touched his robe, your faith has made you well. It's about faith. It's about what we believe. And we know the actual healing comes from God. But what causes the healing is your faith. It's what you believe. You have to believe that God can do it for it to happen. These men that hollered out to him, they were desperate men. There was nothing else that they knew that could be done. There was no cure. There was no liniment that you could put on the sores. There was nothing you could do. They knew the only thing that could take care of this was God. And on top of that, they were banished, outcasts. They lived in leper colonies outside the city. They weren't allowed even to live in the city. It was believed that they got this disease because either they sinned or their parents had sinned. So this was a pretty bad thing. I mean, spiritually, emotionally, if you had leprosy, you probably didn't really feel like you had any reason to live. But they called out to Christ because they knew he could take care of it. And as they were walking, he did. But in our society today, we don't tend to think about thanking God for what he's done for us. We don't look at the things that happen to us that are miracles, those things that faith is taking care of. We don't look at those things and turn around and say, thank you, God, for taking care of that. We just assume that, okay, he took care of it, great. And we go on about our lives. Even in prayer, we don't always thank God for the things he's done for us. We kneel down and we pray and we ask him to do things for us, but do you ever thank him for the things that he's already done? Do you ever thank him for the things that you know he's going to do? We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to be thankful for the things that God does for us. One of my favorite sayings is, faith is not believing God can. Faith is knowing God will. We know he'll do it. We don't just believe that he can do it. We know he can do it. And that's faith. We have to think about it that way. We have to think about our lives and how we are where we are because God got us there. I know there's probably situations in your life where you probably thought to yourself, boy, I'm glad I made it through that. But did you stop and thank God for it? Peter Marshall, who was a dynamic preacher back in the 40s, his life was chronicled by his wife in a book called A Man Called Peter. He died suddenly of a heart attack in January of 1949 at the age of 46. But the neat thing is, in his sermons, he would tell people, when the clock strikes for me, I shall go. Not 1 minute early, not 1 minute late, and until then, there is nothing to fear. I know that the promises of God are true, for they have been fulfilled in my life time and time again. And Jesus still teaches and guides and protects and heals and comforts and still wins our complete trust and love. He was right. It doesn't matter whether you die at 46 or 106. The promises of God are still there. You can guarantee it. God knows our needs, and He heals us according to those needs. And healing faith, it's a conviction that even though our circumstances might be dire, there is a loving God who watches over us, and if we will trust Him, healing will come. It may not come as quickly as we like. We have to remember that things happen in God's time, not our time. It may not happen exactly like you anticipated it happening, but it happens the way God knows best. God knows what we need. And it's about mature faith. It's about knowing that it can be done, that it will be done. It's like growing from adolescent to adult. We learn about life. Mature faith is where we have learned through our life experiences that it really works. Prayer works, faith works, God is there to take care of us, always. And even though sometimes we don't see a solution, God does. And sometimes those burdens that we face turn out to be blessings. You thought you might be at the end of your rope, but that was just the beginning of a new reality. Dr. Steve Stevens talks about the writer named Karen Blixen. She didn't write under that name, but her real name is Karen Blixen. She had three loves in her life. First one, her father committed suicide when she was 10 years old. Her husband was continuously unfaithful and gave her syphilis. After 11 years, they finally divorced. Then she fell in love with a man who was gay. For 13 years, he was her best friend, even though he wasn't able to return her love. When she was 46, he was killed in an airplane crash. Three loves, disastrous endings. But she didn't give up. In spite of those tragedies, she kept a hopeful attitude. She wrote books under the pen name Isaac Dinesen. Books like Out of Africa and Winter Tales. In reflection on her life, she says, I think these difficult times have helped me to understand better than before how infinitely rich and beautiful life is in every way. Now, that's attitude. That's knowing that life is great. That we've got a good life. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. But those bad things can turn out to be blessings. We should never look at them as being a bad thing. Sandra Richter, the lady that's doing the Bible studies, the video Bible studies that we've been doing, she made the comment in one of them. She says, we shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen. We should be more surprised when good things happen. Because she says we live in a fallen world, a dark world, with bad all around us. And we should be more surprised when good things happen. And good things happen because of Christ. He is the light in the darkness, that darkness that surrounds us. We have to hold on to God's promises because God's promises are real. He doesn't go back on his promises. When he tells you something, he says he's going to do something for you, whether it's something we read in the Bible or something that you've heard in your mind, when God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. His promises are real. And no matter what happens, getting from point A to point B, we have to know we're going to get there. Alan Shepard, the first man, American man, to be in the space, when he was sitting on top of that rocket, some of the thoughts that he had as their rocket ignited and took off from the pad and started accelerating, it got to a point where it shook so violently he wasn't sure he was going to make it. But he held on to faith. Being a test pilot, he knew that sometimes it gets rough like that right before it smooths out. Like, for example, I know many of us might remember when we were younger and jet aircraft, when they would break the sound barrier, you'd hear this boom. You don't hear it so much anymore. I guess they've got better designs in their planes. But he knew that sometimes the rough vibration like that is there before you come out the other side. And he thought about contacting Houston and saying, hey, we've got a problem here. But he didn't. Because he knew that if he had said something, Houston would have panicked and aborted the mission. He didn't want that to happen. And sure enough, after they'd gotten to a certain speed, he'd gotten past the sound barrier, everything smoothed out and was quiet and still, and he was out in space. And that's how life is. Sometimes when we're getting from point A to point B, as God is leading us to where we need to go, you might hit a little pothole here and there. But you can't let those knock you down. You have to know that you're going to get to the other end because God said, I'm going to get you there. No matter what happens in between, I'm going to get you there. Just because we experience a little turbulence and we are tempted to abort our mission, you have to hang on. You have to hang on to true faith because that's what faith is all about. Faith isn't about the circus tent with the sawdust on the ground and the faith healer standing up there and slapping you in the forehead. Faith is about what's in your heart. Faith is about knowing God will. But the most important thing here is we have to be grateful for what God does for us. We know that he's going to do it. We have the faith that he's going to take care of it. But when he does, we need to say, thank you, God.
Amen, Pastor.
He doesn't have to do the things that he does for us. He does it because he cares for us. He loves us. He does it because he knows we believe. He knows what's in our heart. 10 were cleansed. 1 turned around. And Jesus wants you to know that it was a Samaritan. Because if you'll remember back in those days, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't click. It was kind of like the Jews and the Palestinians now. They just don't get along. But it was the Samaritan out of that group of 10 people that came back and thanked Christ. Christ says he was a foreigner. He wants to make sure you understand that this was not a Jew. This was not somebody that he was a part of, I guess you could say. Jesus was a Jew. He wanted you to know that this was somebody outside of that. And I think that's a good thing, because he wants you to know that he cares about us as Gentiles just as much as he does the Jewish people. There's a Salvation Army preacher in England who says this: born in another man's stable, buried in another man's grave, his first pillow straw, his last a crown of thorns, his first resting place somebody else's manger, and his last somebody else's cross. And it was for you and for me. And he says, have you ever thanked him? Have you ever gone to your knees and showed gratefulness? Have you cursed him or taken his name in vain, rejected and spurned him, and spurned his followers, ridiculed and criticized unmercifully, but you have never thanked Jesus? In gratitude, we have to be gracious and thankful, because God gave us something that cost him dearly. He gave us his son. And you have to know that that hurt God. Can you imagine losing one of your children? It would tear you apart. God is the same way, I'm sure. But he did that for us. He gave him so that we might be saved, and that we might know that he cares about us so much that he will do for us whatever we need to have done. All you have to do is believe. All you have to have is faith. Faith will make you whole. But when he does make you whole, be thankful. When he heals you physically or spiritually, be thankful. Because he is there for us always. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't go on vacation. He is there constantly, 24/7, 365 days a year. And if you need something, if you need to be healed, or you need something desperately like those lepers, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask and know in your heart, God will take care of this. That's faith. But along with faith goes thankfulness. So be sure when those things happen to you that you think, wow, God took care of that for me. That you get down on your knees and you say, thank you, God. I appreciate that. Thank him. Amen.